You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John. John chapter 4, verse 34. I'm going to read this brief section of scripture, and then we're going to go into our series. We're beginning a new series today called The Hunger Games, and I'm excited about just what God is doing, because even up until this morning, the Lord was just pouring, and I was asking God, well, you know, help, because I don't know which way you want to go. And he said, be still. It was so appropriate that Sister Misha just said, you know, sometimes you just got to be quiet. So it was appropriate. Would y'all read with me on the count of three? Y'all ready? Okay, not everybody's there. Some of y'all are looking at it in your Bibles. That's appropriate. Those of you who are taking notes on it today, that's a good thing, because we got a lot of meat that we're going to be getting into today. Are y'all ready to read? Read with me on three. One, two, three. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. There was an individual who took a trip to the Holy Land, and he wanted to just experience just the idea of what it was to be a shepherd. And so he went and he looked, and he spent some time with shepherds. And during the night, there were these sounds, these sounds of wild animals just making all sorts of noise in the middle of the night. And while the sounds were going on, there were some shepherd dogs that were around, and they began to growl, and they began to look and peer into the night. And as they growled and they peered into the night, the individual with the shepherd, he looked at the sheep that were around, and the sheep weren't looking out into the darkness, but they were looking towards his direction. Their eyes were gleaming, and the individual said, you know, well, what is the deal with the sheep? Why are they looking in this direction? And the shepherd said, the issue with my sheep is that they keep their eyes always on the shepherd to see which way I'm going to go. When danger and things that they can't perceive happen, they begin to look to me to see the direction that I'm going to go. Did y'all hear what I said to you there? We are his sheep. And the scripture tells us, my sheep, write this down. Look it up later. My sheep know my voice. Just keep that in mind. Write that down. The whole premise of what we talked about last week was the issue of us as believers making sure that we watch the throne. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and understanding our position and our role is that we need to be able to see where God is in each and every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. Where is God in this? And where we find him is in his word. Where we find the direction, it's in his word. Where we find the move of the Spirit for us, if we're very new to this thing, we must take time and spend time in God's word in order to know where he is in this situation and circumstance that I'm in. And I keep my eyes on the throne. I keep my eyes attuned to watching the move of God and what's happening, so that I will always walk in victory, whatever it is, whatever situation, circumstance I find myself in. I'm not watching these other things that are around me. I'm not even watching people that I esteem or I look to. I don't even watch them. I need to see beyond them. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking past you, because I need to see Jesus in this situation. And so here we are, and that's exciting to hear, but this issue of the Hunger Games and what we're dealing with is really, how hungry are you? How hungry are you? I don't know about any of you in this place, but I know that the majority of us as Americans, we really don't know what hunger is. Brother, could you give me that back? I'm ready for it now. Many of us in our experience, we don't know what hunger is, because there are so many things in the world, in this place, in the United States. There's so many things. Y'all can bring that screen up. There's so many things that we just get access to. Snack foods, it's called. Snack foods. Snacks might catch. Y'all can catch. Snack foods. I mean, and it's just there. Oh, she caught it with one hand. She was like, ah. Snack foods. And that, look at it, the hands are going up. Anybody else? Anybody? Snack foods. We're not even hungry. We're not even hungry right now. Because it's just there. and available. Wait, look at you, look at you, look at you. Just snack food. Just all right, see y'all back there. Snack food. This is the last, nope, that's not the last one. Snack foods. Just, Mr. Lester was like, it's coming. That's just all sorts of wrong, Mr. All right, last one. All right, Big Dave, you're gonna have to, because this is not very weighty. This is not very. I tried. Snack foods. We don't know what hunger is in the natural because there's this aspect of snack foods, things that quote satisfy that emotional dynamic to eat. Me as Americans, we're never really hungry. We just are emotionally moved to eat. I'm gonna say it this way. We eat emotionally. The aspect of how we approach a meal is more so about how it's going to taste and how pleasing it is, how it's going to make me feel. And unfortunately for us in this country, we approach God's word the same way. We approach it emotionally. How is God's word going to make me feel? And those texts of scripture that make me uncomfortable, could we bring that screen up? This is the title of the message today. I'm not eating that. I'm not eating that. Because we approach the word of God like we approach a natural meal. We approach a natural meal because we really don't know what it is to be hungry. We approach it from an emotion. How is it going to make me feel? If it's good, even though like the Twinkie that y'all are chewing on right now. Some of y'all like it. What Twinkie? The Twinkie that you're eating and that you're enjoying, it has no real nutritional value. It just tastes good. It just tastes good. Now, if I was to throw asparagus out, I wouldn't have seen all of the hands popping up. Y'all have been like, yeah, what is he doing with that? And we approach the word of God in the same manner. We approach it from an emotional dynamic. Is it going to make me feel good doing this? Is it going to make me feel good reading this? Is this going to make me feel good applying this to my life? And if it doesn't, in the circumstance where I am right now, because I'm not really hungry, if I'm not feeling it, then I'm not doing it. I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm this, I'm that. And all of these things that we have and we have experienced and have justified in times past, the issue is that God is looking for people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he recognizes and he sees that spiritually you have been moved by your emotions and you take in the things that feel good. Joy of the Lord is our strength. We talked about that last week. But in order to really get that joy, there's some things that you're going to have to eat that you may not like. See, because a part of that joy deals with God training you and developing you in the love that you're supposed to walk in, which means that he's going to use people who are unlovely to help you to love. You need and I need more patience. I need more patience in my life, Lord. And so God shows you through his word that you are to bear the fruit of patience. But in order for you to do that, you're going to have to eat some things. You're going to have to eat situations and circumstances that are going to put you in a place where you're going to have to exercise what's already in you. Pastor Fred talked about this in dirt. You're going to have to start digging and seeing where is that seed of patience that's in. Because I need these things now, God. I need them now. And God says, you ain't eating the right stuff right now. And we throw things in God's face like this. Well, God, you did it for her. And Lord, you did it immediately. What's wrong with me? And God says, you don't know the length of time it took for her to finally eat what I was trying to feed her. All right, wait, I got to get to my message. Stop it. This series is about it's the importance of the knowledge and the power of the Word of God in our life. God, of course, He uses the Word to fuel our faith and gives us an ability to bear the kind of fruit that will remain. This issue of eating things according to the Word of God that are going to strengthen us in our faith is something that we're going to have to train ourselves to do. A part of your eating is, and let me just say this, not in judgment or anything like that, but I need to say this to this body. This body, in this place, this is, for lack of a better term, a learning center. It's a learning center, it's a training, developing, it is a growth place for you, which means you can't sit in this place and you can't have your word. You can't have your word. You cannot sit here without your word. You can't sit here without paper and pen or some way of documenting what's being said, because you're going to need it. Yes. There's not a lot of preaching dynamics that go on here, because that's the Twinkie experience. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with Twinkies in and of themselves, but if all you eat is Twinkies all the time, all you will desire is Twinkies. All you will be looking for is Twinkies. And if you know in the natural that Twinkies, they really don't have, it's nice and big. Twinkies don't have any real nutritional value. You're going to have to, listen, train yourself to eat things other than. Myself and Pastor Tracy here in the past 2 weeks, we have had to renegotiate our eating habits. I did say renegotiate. There's some give and some take. It was a lot more taken. But we had to renegotiate our approach to our eating habits. Why? Because we want a result in our bodies to be different. So the issue is, if I want a change in my body, I have to change what I'm putting in my body in order to get the results for my body. You and I, spiritually, we're looking for God to begin to do things bigger than what we see in the natural. But you're going to have to start taking in things that are a little bit bigger than yourself through your faith than what you've been taking in. So you have to train yourself. When you want chocolate, frosted, yellow cake, when you want that for your birthday and thereafter, you have to eat an apple. You have to eat something different than what you're accustomed to and emotionally comfortable with. John chapter 6, verse 53. We're going somewhere with this. Scripture says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Everybody on the count of three, just do this with me. Go, L, 1, 2, 3, L. That's nasty. But y'all know how we do in this training period. You have to read everything before and everything after to really understand what this text of scripture is. And even when you read it, it's still a little strange. Let me give you a little backstory to this aspect of eating the flesh of the Son of Man. Because you can't go around just telling people, yeah, I eat flesh. You can't do that. The backstory of what's going on here is Jesus has just performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And people are beginning, they're following him because they're waiting on the next miracle. They're waiting on the next Twinkie experience. The situation that they were dealing, they were hungry physically. And the disciples, you know, went to Jesus. And we know the story. He ends up doing a miracle. People are eating. They're satisfied. And they're following him now because they're waiting on the next thing. Now, while this following is going on, there's some Jews, some scholars in the company. And so they're beginning to ask Jesus, you know, what are you doing? And so he goes into the story of the aspect of salvation. They don't know it's salvation, but he begins to speak about the aspect of, you guys, you had manna in the wilderness. And you have to understand that there's this aspect. God is doing that same manna in the wilderness again, and I am the bread of life. And he begins to open up to them a little bit more about what's really going on. Y'all, you've been satisfied with that natural bread, but here is something deeper that I can give you, the spiritual manna that God already showed you back then, and he's now doing it again. And they're upset. How can you, Isn't this Joseph's son? They go through this whole thing of identifying him in the natural, and he begins to get a little, I believe, a little frustrated. And so he continues to share with them and get to this aspect where he says, listen, enough. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they start tripping. Eat his flesh? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And so it's a bad situation here, because we just want you to manifest the miracle of the bread again. Now you gone and you begin to have a conversation with us that we're uncomfortable with. Emotionally, we're not good with that, eating flesh. We're Jews, and we don't do that. We don't eat people. We don't do that. And now you're telling us, you can't be who you claim to be, because you're telling us to do something that is out of the norm for us. Y'all not following what I'm saying, but it's going to come in a minute. You are telling us things that we clearly understand in regards to the example, but now you're telling us something that you know as Jews we don't do. We don't do that. Not understanding that Jesus was just using this as an analogy. Not understanding that Jesus was number one, could y'all bring that first point up? Jesus was really just expressing to them in terms that they could understand. You understood the issue of the manna in the desert. And here we are, we're here again in a situation and in circumstance where you guys are hungry again, and all you want is a Twinkie experience. All you want me to do is do the miracles. All you want me to do is when you call on me and there's a need, you want me to manifest the need. I'm not doing that way. I need you to understand, in order for you to understand the Father, that you have to get into the Father, which means the Father has to get into you. You want a Twinkie experience. Listen to me. God is not against the Twinkie experience, but that Twinkie experience is just to draw you into a deeper understanding of what God is really trying to do with you. What is he trying to do with you when you're encountering people who don't know him, and all you can tell them about is what the miracle that God did? But can you tell them about the time that you had to wait 2 or 3 years for something to happen, and you stood diligently and God then manifested it, and you learned that, you know what, there's something deeper about this God that I serve? So when people are looking for the miracle, you can rejoice with them as they're looking for it and pray with them. But please, please, please educate them also that the God that they serve is deeper than that Twinkie experience. See, a lot of us right now, we can't say amen, because right now you're in the midst of that thing that Jesus is doing to the Jews. He's telling you something that's not really sitting quite right with you. And you're saying, and you're showing, like the little girl right here, you're going, love your neighbor. Give an offering despite. Stop the behavior that looks so much like the world, and the world telling you it's okay to be this way. And all of the things that we can say, because we want God, if you're God, just show this, just do this right here and right now. And the Lord is saying, I'm deeper than that. Jesus is speaking in terms. Go back. Go back. Jesus was speaking in terms that the Jews could understand. They could understand the aspect of the manna in the wilderness. They understood that their people were in need and they were crying out to God. They needed food, and God manifested the manna, and he did it for them, and then they rejoiced over it, and they used that as a memorial. And he's saying that was a symbol of your salvation, that God is going to be your salvation. Now watch. Now that same bread that you had from heaven, the bread of heaven is here again. It's here again. I'm here again. And you're not getting it because all you want is the Twinkie. All you want is the manna. All you want is the manifestation for God to move when you say move. First point, God is going to speak to you in terms that you can understand first. He's going to present you something that's clear to you in your experience. And he's going to, because you're struggling with this, they struggled with the fact that he was the Messiah. They struggled with the fact that although they saw all of the evidence according to Scripture that he was the one, they still struggled with the fact that this guy is the Messiah. He don't look like the Messiah. He doesn't talk like the Messiah that we thought would be talking. He doesn't even smell like the Messiah. Look at this family. Look at his background of his family. We know his dad, and we know his moms, and we know his brothers and sisters. We know them. How can he be the one? And what we don't understand, even in our walk today, and why we're not hungry for God, is because we're looking for God to look a certain way in our situation. We're looking for God to act and behave in a certain way that when we declare him king, that he looks kingly to us. And not only to us, that when people experience us, they experience, well, wow, you're a Christian. Look at those things that are happening for you. Look at the blessing in your life. Look at the cars that you have. Look at the house that you live in. Look at the clothes that you, uh-oh, wait a minute. Everybody say this with me. Twinkie. And so many ministries and so many places that they're experiencing this Twinkie experience. And again, I'm going to say, there's nothing wrong with that. God does that, but he wants more. He wants you to seek and search for more. He wants you to be hungry for more because cars come and go. How many have had cars come and go? Houses come and go. Apartments come and go. Shoes come and go. Suits come and go. Jewelry comes and goes. Hairstyles comes, and for some people, they just goes and never comes back. So these issues of what we've put our eyes on in church and an expectation of God to be God. God, you're going to be God when you answer my prayer about this job, because the job is going to afford me to do all of these wonderful things. The Lord is not moved by the job, because jobs come. And even if you're faithful to a particular job, please understand that job is not your source. So the Lord, in this conversation that he's having with them, when he makes the statement, the first thing is that he's speaking to them in terms that they can understand. There are things that God has presented to you, and he's sitting back and he's saying, do you really recognize what it is that I'm doing with you right now? You keep going through the same cycle of the same issues and the same problems and the same mistakes, and you're coming back and you're waiting on me to do a Twinkie manifestation. I'm not doing that. I need you to go deeper. What's deeper for me, Lord? What is that? Well, you're going to have to find within yourself me. Question, am I there? Am I there? I'm for real. Am I there? Am I there? When you have to go deeper now in your heart of hearts in regards to your relationship with me, am I there? Or what's there? See, the Jews, when he said that, you're gonna have to go deeper now. You know I am, but you're just refusing. And now you're going to have to go deeper and really, really ask yourself, what's going on inside of you that you're not believing I am who I say that I am? I'm going to say that again, because he wasn't just talking to them. He's talking to us now. What's inside of you that you're having a problem with the fact that I say who I say that I am? I am that. I am. What's going on in you? I know spiritually, you're hungry, you're starving, and you don't even recognize it, but to satisfy your emotional need for me, you want a Twinkie experience. God, I need to pass this test. Did you study? Lord, you can do all things, but are you going to pass that test? I can do all things, but are you going to pass the test? See, what I'm saying is that there are things that we ask of God out of emotion, because we want an emotional experience with God. And God is not, many of us who have spent some time with the Lord, and I'm learning this, and it's frustrating, God is not moved by your emotions. It's not that he doesn't care. He's just not moved by your emotion. He's not moved by your whining. He's not moved by my crying. He's not moved by my expression of frustration. God, why? He sees me. He probably is laughing a lot of times. Like, and I'm speaking just myself. But God is not moved by your emotional state. What moves God? Faith. Y'all on it. God is not moved by your emotional state. He's moved by your faith state. You're taking notes. You need to write that down. Because as he's causing you to say, okay, go deeper. I've said something to you that you understand. It don't taste good to you. You don't want to eat that, but go deeper. What's inside of you? I'm looking for your faith state. Where are you? Ooh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's bring up the second point. Bring up the second point, please, because we'll move fast. Jesus was testing to see if the Jewish listener would dare go deeper in the meaning. As he was expressing this aspect of eating my flesh and drinking my blood, he was not literally meaning that. We, in reading the text, we know that he didn't mean that. But in his expression to those that were around him, he understood that they understood about the issue of the manna, and they understood about what God did for them, and they understood that they were waiting for a Messiah, and they understood that there were going to be signs, and all of these things were right there in front of them, and yet they refused to receive Jesus for who he was. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are you seeing that God is testing you to see, as a believer, are you going to go deeper in the meaning of what's going on in your life right now? Are you going to go deeper? You've heard the word. My God, if you've been here, and no pat on my back, but I know what God has been doing with us. So you've heard the word. And if you've spent any time in anything extracurricular, like our community groups and the men's ministry and the women's ministry and different things, you've not only heard the word, but then you've heard demonstration through people's testimony of what God is doing and the variation and the variety of ways that he does it. So you've heard the word and you've heard them and you've experienced the variety. Are you in a position where you understand that God is trying to take you deeper in the meaning of what's going on with you? In your consistency, in your diligence, in your faithfulness, in your recognizing that as hard as you've experienced things in your life and you're even presently dealing with some things, that your God is bigger because he is your salvation. Oh, man, y'all missed that. See, it's got to start there. Can God save you out of fill in the blank? Can he save you out of? And the reality of it is, I want to see your faith state. Do you know that he's already saved you out of it? Do you know that he's already delivered you out of fill in the blank? Emotionally, we're going through stuff. God, you healed my body, but yet I'm still hurting. I'm still dealing with this. God, you've laid things out for me. You've said different things, but what I see doesn't look like what you said. Listen to me, the response that we're expressing to God, again, we're wanting the God to respond to our emotional state, and God is saying, I don't respond to your emotional state, I respond to your faith state. I move on that. And do you understand where I'm taking you deeper? I'm allowing you to walk through this particular state because there are going to be people who are waiting on a Twinkie experience and they need someone who's mature enough to say, my God is able, despite what you see going on with me and the condition that is physically and visually present, God is still God, and I know he is because of the faith state that I'm living in right now. Because you got to train yourself up to get there. You got to be in day in and day out in relationship. We said, watch the throne. It's about relationship. God, I'd like for God to work some miracles and do some things. I would. And so would you, amen? But God says, I'm deeper than that, yo. I'm deeper than that. I'm multifaceted in how I deal with situations and circumstances. And I need you to understand that this relationship, this is a relationship where I give you instruction. You do it no matter what you see. You trust me that I'm gonna make it happen regardless. Because I'm the author and of your emotions. I'm the author and finisher of you feeling happy. I'm the author and finisher of you feeling good and satisfied and full. No, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. And many of us, unfortunately, we put ourselves, when we start doing this journey with Jesus and the Twinkie experience starts to slow down. Anybody ever experienced that? Remember when you first got saved, just things just started happening and God was just doing stuff and people just started falling away that you didn't need in your life and it was just great and people, you came to church and the music was just wonderful and the worship singers were just on point and the pastor was preaching and everything that he heard, I mean, you was just eating it up and you were just excited about Christ. And then after a couple of years, a couple of days, You're not excited like you were before. You know why? Because I'm just not getting fed anymore. I'm not excited anymore because, you know, that praise and worship team, they're just going through so many changes, and the music is just I've sang that song before. How come we ain't singing new songs? The piano player, I don't like the color of the hats he be wearing. I'm saying, we start to move and we start to respond emotionally to things that we're seeing manifest in our place of worship, and all of a sudden that we've lost something, or we thought we've lost something, and all that's happened is God is trying to take you deeper. The Twinkies were good, but that's not going to nourish you. That's not going to sustain you. Now I'm going to give you meat. Jesus said, my food, some translations said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish the work. And every single one of you, along with me, have been called and have been positioned. And while we're in school and at the job and at the place of business, we are sent to accomplish the work. That's your food. His will. And God is, say this with me, God is deep in love with you. He's deep in love with you. Last point. Let's bring it on screen. The disciples determined to do the unexpected. Now, if you continue to read the story, you'll find that when Jesus made this statement of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, the crowds of people, they left. Y'all not here. when they were emotionally discouraged, they left. When their happiness could not be fulfilled the way that they wanted Jesus to fulfill their happiness, they left. When they got into a place and a position as he began to talk about the deeper things and he wouldn't manifest the Twinkies, they left and went to the bathroom. Oh, I'm dabbling. I know I'm messing. I'm trying to get y'all to see something. But with the crowd of people who've left, there was a handful that was still there. The original 12. And Jesus, after everyone left, he asked them, you still here? Don't you want to go too? Because I've now transitioned to something deeper, something that you understand and you already know, but I'm saying to you, you're going to have to get beyond the outward things that God does and start getting into the inward things that God does. You're going to have to take him in you because you need to be nervous. Are you ready for that? And Peter makes this statement, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says this. He says, you have the words of eternal life. Let me back up. Before he says that, he says this. Where we going? Where we gonna go? Wait, you have to feel this for a minute. Peter got to a place, as a spokesman for the rest of them, got to a place where I've invested too much time. To walk away. I put in too much time thus far to let my emotions move me. I put in, there's too much that I've seen and I've experienced to be moved by what other people are doing. Oh, y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you. There's just too much that has happened to me on this journey for me to just walk away. So, clearly, Peter and the 12, they didn't get the whole thing, but they knew enough to do the unexpected. The unexpected was, we're going to stay the course. See, there are people around you who are doing things based upon their emotional state with God. And they want you to join with them. Hey, I'm not reading and I'm not praying, but I know God is real. And they want you to just be comfortable with me. Because you know what? God is going to do something fantastic. And then we can say, oh, praise the Lord. Or while he's not doing those fantastic things, we're just going to sit on our butt and we're going to wait. Because God loves me. And when I get into a hard place, he's going to do something. And then when he doesn't do something, you say, I'm leaving. I'm out. Obviously, this God thing doesn't work. Struggling with some emotional issues and things that, yeah, I know what God says about my deliverance, but I'm still struggling. And I'm with God, you're going to have to do something. And God says, I've already done it. Go back to what I've said. And by faith, walk in what I've said so that you will be nourished by what makes your faith grow. What makes faith grow? We're about to get into it right now. Y'all thought that was the message. That wasn't the message. What makes faith grow? Y'all talk to me. What makes faith grow? Faith comes by. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Let me just say something to you as we're coming for a landing. This is what we're doing now. Y'all follow me. We're going to land. So we're doing this. Then we're going to do this. And then we're going to do this. Then we're going to do this. Then we're going to land. Is that all right? Romans 10. Faith comes by and hearing by the. Faith comes by and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by and by the word of. Faith comes by your faith state, the maintenance, the growth, the maturity, the aspect of you moving and going deeper in what God says is going to come by what you're hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And I don't know how many hearings that I need to say in regards to where you may be in your circumstance, but however many hearings you need, that's how many hearings you're going to have to apply to begin to operate in the faith state that God wants you instead of the emotional state that you are in. And you're going to have to do it. I can't do it for you. Worship team can't do it for you. What we do is we are support mechanisms to help you to recharge so that you can continue to hear and hear and hear. Problem, if you come here and we are support mechanisms and you leave this place and you stop hearing, then you stop faithing. Check this out. God is, this is so wonderful. We're still coming around. Faith comes by hearing. The issue of hearing for us in the natural, our ear, watch this is good. Our ear is made up, wait a minute, back up. We are a visual people. We like to see things. But in the natural, your eyes, it only has one lens that light goes through to be able to give you a picture of what it is that you're looking at. Watch this. When that picture hits you, that lens, it inverts. It's upside down. And your brain has to then invert it back. So what I'm really seeing, I'm seeing things backwards. I'm seeing things upside. Y'all not catching it. When I see things, I'm not really seeing what it is that I'm seeing. So honestly, I really in the natural, it's really not good to see things the way that we see, because what we see, we're not really seeing. I'm moving off of that. Your ear doesn't have one aspect. It has three chambers. It has an outer ear. It has an inner ear. And then it has the mechanism that causes us to hear, to actually hear. It has an outer court. It has an inner court. We're talking about, when we talk about the court and we're talking about the temple, we're talking about where the presence of God is. We're talking about the aspect of entering into the presence of God. It comes by worship. And that worship is something that is seeded from your faith in what God is to you. Is he the I am? So the outer court, I'm hearing things. And so the worship team today, we had some songs and the sound wasn't quite working, but did you hear? the speakers weren't working right, but that's cool because the outer ear was catching something, but that inner ear where only a few of us could catch it. Did you hear what was being said? Some of y'all saying yes, some of y'all like, ugh. And then there's the inner ear, that aspect of your faith, that aspect of when you hear about God, our Savior, and lift him up. Did something happen on the inside of you, that inner part of you that say, I don't know what that sound is doing. I don't even know what the musicians are. I don't care. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. See, when you saw, all you could do was see in that first aspect, and it is what it is. But God is not interested in what you see, because you don't walk by sight. Y'all know the scripture. We walk by
faith,
not by
sight.
Oh, this is good today, y'all. There's a reason why God is saying he's putting these things out in regards to our ear, because our ear is symbolic of what goes on in the temple and where the presence of God is. So how are you hearing, and how far does the word of God go in your life? Because faith comes by. Listen to me. Scripture says first the natural, then the spiritual. So he gives us this natural example, and all through the word, this aspect of hearing God, and then doing what God says based upon what you've heard, not what you've seen, but what you've heard. What are you hearing? And what are you hearing, and how deep is your hearing? The inner court of your ear, if I can call it that, and that center, the center most holy of holies, the sound that comes in, if it doesn't hit that ear drum, and we're watch this, oh my God, that inner ear drum and that area that's holy of holies, I'm going to just say it like that, there is cartilage and flesh and bone and fluid. Inside your ear, there's flesh and blood. And if that sound doesn't hit that drum and cause the bones and the fluid to move, you don't hear. If there's no fluid in the ear, you don't hear. If the cartilage, if the flesh is affected, punctured, you don't hear. So the sound can go in and hit that outer court. Doesn't really mean anything. It can actually go into the inner ear area. Vibrations hitting the inner hairs that are there, not hearing anything. It's not until it comes into contact with flesh. Second go around, we're coming around now. Until it hits flesh, the things that cause you to hear, until that sound, that vibration hits that, there is no hearing. And the Lord tells us, if you don't eat my and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. What kind of life am I supposed to have? Faith life. We walk by. So if I'm not taking in God's word and causing that to become life, flesh, blood in me, so that when more word comes into me, I can hear it. If I'm not taking it in initially, I'm not hearing anything that's going on. I'm not comprehending. I'm not getting it. And anything that I don't understand, I fear. All right. Final pass. Just so y'all know, I'm not just making this up and it's sounding really good. In John chapter 4, verse 42, the New King James, could you bring that up, please? Scripture says this, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him. And we know, did you got the last part of that sweet? That this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the story of the woman at the well. Y'all know clearly after Jesus ministered to her by the word, being the word, that she went back to her town and she told everybody, come and see a man that had who told me everything that I've ever done. And through that testimony, what those people were hearing, they were stirred up and excited. They were stirred. I don't know what was going on, because these were the same people that were sleeping around with her, so I'm sure. But they got stirred up and they got convicted. They got whatever, and we have to go see who this guy is. And when they saw him, they weren't moved by what they saw. They declared, "We believe now, not because of what she said." Y'all not catching it. They went by what was stirred up in them somehow, some way, some flesh and some blood got into them and moved them and motivated them to go and get more word. We're not just going by your word. And that was cool. In other words, hear me. Y'all just can't go by what I'm saying to you. You got to go run and chase after the man from which this word comes from. And believe and be able to believe for yourself. I mean, the things that I'm telling you, I'm not lying to you, but you need to check it out for yourself. You gotta be hungry enough to say, I mean, man, that was good, but I want to go deeper to be able to hear for myself what God is declaring about my life. Praise the Lord. Last point, we're about to touch down here. Eating. Your hearing in the natural is not just for you to be able to hear, deal with these vibrations, cause it to go into that inner ear where there's bone and there's cartilage and there's flesh and fluid, but it is also for balance. Oh, it's about balance. It's about making sure that you stay stable when you're walking. Oh, my God. Should I say that again? Your hearing is not just about you hearing the word of God and saying yes and declaring what God says is true, but it's about balance. And the natural is about you keeping your balance. If I didn't have my hearing correctly, I couldn't do this. It's about balance so that fluid in my head allows me to be able to find that horizon line and make sure that I stay on point and not fall. That hearing, that the hearing mechanism helps me to stay balanced as I'm taking steps so that I don't have to keep looking. I don't have to look at my feet. The scripture tells us that our steps are by who? By the Lord, by God, which means that I don't have to investigate, is God going to do this? I have enough word in me that I've heard that allows me to balance. That way, I know my steps are ordered, so I'm not concerned about where God wants me to step. I'm not worried about whether or not this is going to work. Because of the faith that has been built up in me, I can walk looking at what God has prepared for me instead of worrying about what's going on right here and right now. Ms. Misha, you need to stop staying on this platform because you got me laughing like you now. Landing. Here's the landing. This is serious. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're landing. Put your seatbelts on. Turn off all of your electronic devices. And pray. Genesis chapter 2. No, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 3. Let's back up to verse. I could back up to verse 1, but we're going to pick this up. The serpent is in the garden. He's already convinced. He's already deceived Eve. She's already given the fruit to Adam. Verse 6, let's start there. So when the woman, watch this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what did she do? She what? Saw. That the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Watch this. And then they, I'm saying and then, but the word scripture says, and they heard what? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, watch this, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Adam says, so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." God says, "Who told you you were naked?" Who told you? He didn't say who showed you. See, Adam's very nature was to hear from God, and from hearing from God, he moved on what he heard God say to do. He heard God, and he did what God told him to do. This is before the fall. God, from the very beginning, was operating in this aspect of a faith state, the aspect of, "God, you said, then I do. The steps that I take are based upon not what I see, but what you said." The enemy corrupted this aspect of his faith state by speaking not to the man, but to the woman. Watch this, because this is going to get deep for just a minute, and then we're going to land. That he spoke to them not just to get them to eat the fruit, but because he was after a state. He was after their state, their position. Scripture in Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." That word called is the same word that God called Adam when he called out to him. They heard the sound of the Lord, and the Lord called Adam, verse 9. That call is the same call in Romans 8. Now watch this. Who are called according to his purpose. In other words, who have been positioned to receive word and do. So when God called Adam, he's calling him, "Where are you in your position, and why aren't you doing what I said for you to do?" It wasn't just he said, "Hey, Adam," but he was declaring to him the position that he was supposed to be in that he was now not in. In Romans 8, when we're talking about all of these crazy things that are happening, God is saying it's all working together, that aspect of all working together. It is taking this confused situation and making it and forcing it work on your behalf because I've called you. You're not just saved, but I have positioned you to be able to hear me and do what I said to do. So if all things ain't working together, you're going to have to check your call. What do you mean, Pastor? Check your position. Check what, are you doing this? Are you allowing the Lord to cause you to walk by faith because you are hearing his voice? See, Adam was just newly sinned, so he can still hear God clearly. I heard your voice. The voice of the Bible. Wait a minute, I'm going to just go right back just so y'all ain't saying I ain't making this up. And they, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking. What did they hear? So you have to ask yourself, what is the sound that God makes when he walks? What is that sound? What was God expecting in this walk? He was expecting people to be in their position, because where I am, there you should be also. So when Adam wasn't there, he called him to remind him, "What you, the position that I called you to by my word, you're not there." And why wasn't he there? Because he ate something that he saw. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So we ask, well, how did he die? He died because of what he ate. He died because of disobedience. He died because God told him not to. What should have fed him and what should have sustained his life was what God said, not what he ate. But he did what he went by what he saw, what he ate, and he died because of that. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? You hungry? There's a position that God has called you to. There's a state, a faith state that you're supposed to be positioned in. And you and I, too many times we're floundering because of things that we see. And then we see a lot of things, man, and those things are not good a lot of times. They're not good, and they don't feel good. And what all those things are, what the enemy wants to do is he wants you to move out of your faith state into an emotional state. Because if you get in that emotional state, he understands that God is not moved by that emotional state. He's only moved by faith. So let me get you out. You can love him all you want and know that he loves you. You can know that God is not going to abandon you. You can know that God is very present where you are, but just like Adam and Eve, God is not going to do anything if you don't move by what he says, not what you see. And the things that God is showing you right now, just like when he made mention of this eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, he says if you stay on the surface of this, you're not going to like that. You're not going to like what you hear, so you're going to go and pursue what you see, what's comfortable. And when you pursue what's comfortable, it's going to keep you starving. Until you die. And spiritually, you'll be miserable. And spiritually, you'll be frustrated. And then eventually, you're going to go out there and you're going to start sleeping with people. Eventually, you're going to go out there and you're going to do what the world does. You're going to seek that level of happiness. You're going to go and you're going to stay at the job more than you should be in the house of God. You know you should be in the house of God. But you're going to be at the job more, put more work in. And when Sunday comes, you're going to flip the script and say, well, God, you tell me to rest. All of it. Because of the emotional state that we've allowed the enemy to convince us is our faith. And God says, I'm not moved by that. But who will go deeper? Who will go deeper? Who will go deeper right now? Who will go deeper? Who will challenge that seed of faith that God has put in you? And I know that this word has touched you right now. Well, who would dare to go deeper? Who would dare to say, you know what? Even for myself, I've been operating in an emotional state. I've been doing that, and I'm expecting God to move, and he hasn't moved, and now I realize why. I'm wanting that Twinkie experience, and Twinkies are good for the moment. Right now, those of you who ate those Twinkies, you hungry right now. All jokes aside, because there's no nutritional value to a Twinkie experience. There's nothing that's going to sustain you if you don't keep eating the meat of the Word of God. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm just talking about positioning yourself. Who are you? Who are you? By what I see, people will say that I'm nothing. By what I see, people will say that I'm broke. By what I see, people will say that I'm overweight and I'm not worth of it. By what I see, people will say, but what is God saying? But what I see, people say I'm not pretty enough, so I have to do these, I put on these particular clothes that they tell me will make me sexy. Hello? I do these things because I'm driven by this emotional state. Instead of this faith state. Now, all over the building with y'all.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.